coming up on All Access.
Over the middle, touchdown!
Left side, Ridley powers his way into the end zone, touchdown!
And then when we came back from Buffalo, we all knew that it was kind of the tale of two halves, that we played one good half of football and one not so good half.
He's going to be hit and sacked. Getting in first, Trevor Scott.
Any kid that works as hard as Trevor did, you root for them. A lot of kids say they'd like to get to the NFL. He was willing to do whatever it took to get there.
To get a talented player at the trade deadline, there has to be a reason, either a contract-related thing or something like this. This absolutely makes your team better.
I mean, I think my oldest son loves coming to the games because he gets popcorn and cookies and all the junk food. Maybe he'll think his dad's cool at some point. Probably not.
No football last weekend, no problem. The Patriots return rested and ready for the second half of the season. Welcome to Patriots All Access, everyone. I'm Steve Burton. New England kicks off the remainder of the season at home with a visit from the Buffalo Bills, a team they laid 52 points on in week four. We'll preview the Bills, but up first, Dan Roach checks in on the Patriots, who were making news even when there were no games to be played.
After a much-needed weekend off, thanks to their bye, the Patriots reported back for duty this week in Foxborough, rested and ready to go.
It's a nice little break for a few days. It came at a good time for us, so hopefully, you know, guys used it well, and like I said, you come back refreshed.
Everyone's always energized to get back on the field. Getting back to practice, getting back to work, it's always a great feeling.
While the players were off last week, the front office wasn't, as New England acquired former first-round draft pick cornerback Aqib Talib from Tampa Bay in exchange for a fourth-round draft pick. However, Talib won't be eligible to play this week as he sits out the last of a four-game suspension.
I think he's a great player. You know, I don't know if we're using the same way that they use. So it's just all about what happens once you get here.
This week, we got to just focus on, you know, who's here and what we have to do to get a win this week. And then I think next week, you know, when all that comes into play, it'll really help us out.
Intercepted, an easy pickoff goes Tavon Wilson. I mean, Fitzpatrick threw the ball right into his mitts.
The Patriots host the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, a team they beat 52-28 in Buffalo back in week four.
Hey, this is a very important game for us. You know, we win this, we're 2-0 over a division opponent, which is very critical. And you know, it's a team that we've played a bunch of times, that it's been some different types of games with this team. There's been some kind of wild swings, you know, and I think that shows the inconsistency that we've, you know, played against them. And hopefully we can go out there and play consistently for 60 minutes.
The Patriots have been very good coming off a bye week. In fact, since 2002, they've lost only once. That one loss last year at Pittsburgh. Something I'm sure Coach Belichick has reminded them about all week long. From the CBS scene in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachy, thank you very much. Let's get some quick thoughts on the Aqib Talib acquisition. Joining me now is Paul Perillo and Mike Reese. And your thoughts? Smart pickup? Good pickup? He comes with baggage.
Well, absolutely has some baggage, but I think you had to overlook it, at least in the short term. And I think it makes your team better. Rare these kinds of situations to me at the trading deadline. It always is a guy that has some sort of question mark surrounding him. Mm-hmm. When the Patriots had to get rid of Randy Moss a few years ago and they acquired Branch, those are the kinds of things. It's almost a perfect storm. You need to get a talented player at the trade deadline, there has to be a reason, either a contract-related thing or something like this. This absolutely makes your team better.
I break it down into three categories. One, are they better? Yes, they're better. Sterling Moore, their third cornerback, went unclaimed on waivers, so that tells you something. It's a talent thing. Did they give up too much? I don't think so. A fourth-round pick, that's very reasonable in my opinion. Third, does he fit in the locker room with the character questions? And that's the unknown.
Will he buy into the Patriot way? Will players go up to him? Belichick, I'm sure, is going to have a heart-to-heart with him, but will players go up to him and say, hey, look, this is a no-nonsense team?
Well, I think, you know, that's what Mike alluded to, and you don't really know that until you see a guy get here. And I don't think there'll really be a lot of conversations among the players unless they feel the need. I think that maybe if they see, you know, some lack of dedication to the meetings and stuff and doing the things, working hard and getting prepared, then I think, you know, guys like Vince Wilfork or Gerard Mayo might go over and have a conversation. But otherwise, I think you let a new guy come in, acclimate himself, and then you go from there. I don't necessarily think it's as overt a situation as people make it out to be.
If not for Albert Haynesworth, I'd say it with more conviction that he would fit in, because I thought Haynesworth was going to work out last year. The fact he didn't makes me think, well, you know what, this could, this couldn't. But one thing I think works in the Patriots' favor, he's playing for a contract. This is the last year of his deal. He plays well. He falls into line. He cashes in after the season.
All right, guys. It's going to be interesting to see how Tlaib fits in. We'll be back with you guys to talk about Buffalo in just a moment. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this. Stay with us.
Coming up on All Access,
we follow Trevor Scott's path to the NFL.
First time I saw Trevor play, I believe he was in 10th grade. He didn't have the most skill at the time, but you could see he had the most heart and drive.
But first, we sit down with Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
I love it. I mean, there's nothing I'd rather do. There's nothing that gets me more excited than to, you know, run out on the field.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Earlier this week, a few Patriots joined several area children at the hall at Patriot Place to make holiday cards for American troops overseas.
A lot of the troops don't get mail, and the program that was created to send Christmas cards over to our troops who fight for us, you know, it's just a cool, heartfelt story that it's good to be a part of.
With Veterans Day approaching, this week's Celebrate Volunteerism initiative focused on the military.
We treat football very seriously, but there's so many things that happen outside of football, and to be asked to be a part of and to help promote certain events such as this is really special.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, this week's topic, with the acquisition of cornerback Aqib Tlaib, what position is Devin McCourty best suited to play?
The best position for Devin McCourty has to be cornerback. And I'm going to fall back on an old cliche here. It's your four best guys. And I think that's Patrick Chung and Steve Gregory at safety, Aqib Tlaib and Devin McCourty at corner. He's a former first-round pick. He obviously has the ability to give up on him now and make him a safety, I think, is the wrong move.
Look, I don't care where Devin McCourty was drafted and what for. 3 years in, he's a good tackler, good against the run, has trouble in coverage. Sounds like a safety to me.
All right, I agree with Fred on this one, and here's why. I think most importantly is for Devin McCourty to have more confidence. And when he's playing the safety position, he has everything in front of him. He can make the plays easier, and he's also settled that secondary down. So I like the position of safety for Devin McCourty. I'm Christian Fourier, and this is Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Today's Coffee with the Coach is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Coming off the bye, the coach joins me. And, Coach, what's one of the things that you did get a chance to do during the bye, meaning team-related, that there's one area that, and we'll get into the self-scouting part of it, but what's one thing that you did do during the bye, your time off?
Well, I think some of the main things we looked at were, you know, improvements in the kicking game, our coverage and our return units, and offensively and defensively always try to put a little extra time into our red area, third down, 2 minutes, some of the situational things that that we think we can do better, and, you know, make sure that going forward, in some cases, maybe we have a little different wrinkle to things that we've done, so we don't do what we've already done in those situations, that we have something that might, you know, still work, but our opponents haven't seen yet.
Personally, did you have a chance to shut it down for an hour just to get away from football, or is it just 24/7 round the clock? You don't have enough time to correct or approach anything differently with Buffalo coming up.
I definitely got caught up on the rest a little bit, especially after the London trip, and I got a chance to relax a little bit over the weekend. But we're on to Buffalo now, and it's just a regular week here. We really got to make the most of it. They're a good football team. We really need to have a good week against them.
All right, Coach, we've talked to you before during the bye. The art of self-scouting, what does that all entail? Do you take stuff from scouting? Does Nick Caserio come down? Floyd Reese, what do you do?
Well, I think we do several things on different levels. I mean, one, we take a look at our personnel. We also take a look at the statistics and what do the numbers say? What are we doing well? What are we not doing well? And then we usually try to back that up with actual film study and look at the plays as they relate to the good or bad statistics. Sometimes the statistics can be a little misleading one way or the other, where you're actually doing things well, but you don't have the numbers for it, or you're not doing things well, but maybe actually you're pretty close. And in some cases, I think you make a decision to either continue to work on something that you're not satisfied with or throw it out and move on to something else. And so it was a little bit of that, too. So it's really, looking at it from several different angles and trying to find which one is, what are the things that we want to continue to emphasize, what are the things that we need to move on from, what are the things that we need to fix.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. When Coach returns later in the show, we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills.
Congratulations to Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who was honored by the NFL Players Association and the Georgetown Cancer Center with their inaugural first annual NFL Players Association Georgetown Lombardi Award.
I'm truly uplifted by the fact that our players, under the leadership of Dee, are taking such an active role in helping to raise awareness and funds to try to beat back this disease.
The award recognizes a leader in the sports industry whose life and family have been touched by cancer and encourages cancer research.
I thank all of you for doing what you can for this great institution, and I'm truly humbled by this great award. Thank you very much.
Today's no-nonsense conversation with the coach is brought to you by SBLI, Teddy Bruschi's choice for life insurance. Visit SBLI.com for a free quote.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. Coach returns. Last time we were in Buffalo, you guys laid 52 on them. Now, earlier in that game, things weren't going your way. Eventually, you pulled away. With a young football team, how do you have them ignore the 52? Do you take the early part of the game and have them look at it and say, you know, guys, we weren't perfect here?
Well, I think we all know that. And when we came back from Buffalo, we all knew that it was kind of the tale of two halves, that we played one good half of football and one not-so-good half. And that's the way it is in this league. If you don't play well, it doesn't matter who you play, you're in trouble. So, they're a good football team. And, of course, they beat us up there last year, so we know what they can do. We've got to do a good job of having a good game plan, good execution, good focus on the game. And we've got to stop their big threats. And they have a lot of guys that can hurt you. We've got to take care of them.
You mentioned the game plan. When you face a divisional team for the second time in the same season, specifically after you've already defeated them once, do you have to alter the game plan? Do you have to layer it more? Does it make it more difficult to game plan?
Well, I think there's some element of that. Certainly, if you have things that went well, you probably want to try to incorporate them into your scheme again until they show that they can stop them. But maybe you give them a little different look or a little different disguise. And there are other things that didn't go as well or things that you know you're going to have to adjust for one reason or another. And you try to stay one step ahead on those. But in the end, both teams know each other pretty well. We know them. They know us. And I think it's going to ultimately come down to just good, solid football in execution and being good on your fundamentals, being good on your assignments and going out there and playing a good, solid football game. I don't think this game's really going to be won on a lot of X's and O's. I think that, as usual, good football players are going to go out there and they're going to make plays and they're going to win the game, however that turns out.
All right, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from @JakeT. Says that you have four running backs on your roster. All four have shown different abilities, different running styles. Does that help you game plan against people when you could say, I could put number 22 in the game, I could put number 38 in the game, you could put Danny Woodhead in? Does that complicate things for the other team when you game plan, when you have four guys that can do things?
Well, I think it does for us defensively. When we face teams that have two or three backs that are all good but have different running styles, And Buffalo is a good example. C.J. Spiller's a great running back. Jackson's a great running back. They have very different styles, but they're both very effective. And you got to know who's in the game. You can't play Spiller the same way you play Jackson. And so I think that's really important. And so when you have that working in your favor, I think it puts pressure on the defense that, you know, some runners are better inside runners or more physical runners or catch the ball better or better outside runners. And when the guys go in and out defensively, sometimes it's hard to keep track of who's in a game. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, that's that guy's play, but it's too late. So I know it's tough for us defensively. I would imagine the other teams have to deal with that same problem as well.
All right, if you want to ask the coach a question like Jake did, you got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots, #AskBB. Buffalo Bills, Bellastrader, later in the show, what are we going to look at?
Well, a lot of explosive players. You know, they got Stevie Johnson. They got C.J. Spiller. Our friend
Brad Smith. Defense, too.
Yeah, Brad Smith returning kicks. McKelvin returning kicks. So they're a very explosive team, very good in the kicking game.
All right, sounds good. We'll be back later in the show with the Bellastrader, but more of All Access first, right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We continue our conversation with Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
I'm very lucky and very blessed. I love you know, every part of being, father and a parent.
And later, Coach Belichick goes to the Bellastrader to show us the explosive side of the Buffalo Bills.
His elusiveness and his quickness in the line of scrimmage is really exceptional.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, the official shave of the New England Patriots. By Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the New England Patriots.
Patriots royalty were out in force as the original Bad Boys of Boston rocked the city earlier this week.
A rock and roll band that showed Americans that great blues-based rock could be made in the United States. And the five men who did it were just like the pilgrims that came here. They created rock and roll for America. It's one of the things that makes this town so, so special.
Sweet home of mama with the face like a gem.
Aerosmith played a free concert to promote the release of their 15th studio album, Music from Another Dimension.
This week's player profile is brought to you by Pepsi.
Interesting to see Gerard Mayo and Tom Brady in attendance at the Aerosmith show. As for the quarterback, we pick up our bi-week conversation with him. Here's Scott Zolak with more.
A year ago, probably almost to this date, and there were three of you guys left from the first one, Matt Light, Kevin Falk, and yourself. And since then, I've done two shows over at the Hall for the retirement of Matt Light and Kevin Falk, yet not that you're at the end, because I'm sure you feel you can play six more years.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're really enjoying
it. You're selling me short. So.
Seven. No, you said four last year.
Four? There's no way. Hopefully I got more than that.
All right, so we got this on tape, so you know.
I know.
Six. Coach is going to hold you to it.
I know.
But is that a fair statement? You're enjoying this.
I love it. I mean, there's nothing I'd rather do. There's nothing that gets me more excited than to, you know, run out on the field with, you know, 52 of your, you know, best buddies to go out there and play a football game in front of 80,000 people in another country. I mean, like, think about that. What the hell else am I going to do? Or what, you know, what's anyone going to do that's going to be as exciting as that?
Yeah!
It's a big responsibility, you know, that you carry on a year-round basis to hold yourself accountable to the guys that you play with. So, you know, all the decisions that you make are for one reason, to help this team win, whether that's inside the facility or outside of the facility or your nutrition or your rest or whatever it may be. Hopefully it leads to winning games.
And you talk about the 52 other guys. That gap between some of the young guys, you look at some of your secondary players, 22, 21, 23 years of age. You said something about 2 weeks ago that stuck in my mind, and you were at the podium. I think it was one of your press conferences. You said, we need to take better to coaching as a team. What were you talking about then, and through these last 2 weeks, has that improved? Have you seen those younger guys take better to coaching?
Well, I think that, you know, Coach Belichick stands up in front of the team every week and says, this is what we need to do to win. And if we don't do these things, we're not going to win. And, you know, so when you're an older player, you know, and you've been in those meetings hundreds of times, you go, I hope we're listening to this.
These points mean something to the older
These are really important. He's not just wasting our time. Like, and, you know, he feels that same way, too. He feels like he's pounding these things in day after day after day. And when we go out and we play the way we're capable, the way that he coaches us to play, the way that Josh coaches us to play, Matt Patricia coaches us to play, all of our individual coaches, then it looks pretty good out there. And there's times where you kind of do it your way, and the guy next to you is counting on you to do it one way, and you don't do it that way, and then it doesn't end up being very good. So, you know, we just got to keep doing it the way that our coaches are telling us to do it.
Talk about one of your coaches up front in front of you. How much do you trust Dante Scarnecchia? Because no Matt Light, no Mankins, obviously, for several games, no Cope. You know, he's with another team. Brian Waters elected not to come back. You got the two young guys on the outside. It's mix and match in the middle. How much do you trust Scar?
Oh, a ton. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and he's a great coach. And I think what stands out to me about him is his consistency. You know, he's win or lose, he's always the same. He coaches them hard.
Everyone in these situations says, we'll let Tom do it, we'll let Wes do it, and all that. You can't take it that way. You got to put it on your own individual shoulders. I got to do my job great. And if everyone embraces that, then you have a hell of a chance.
He expects that those guys are going to do the right thing every play, as much effort as possible. And that's been that way since the first day I got here. So it's not like he rides the roller coaster. I mean, he expects a lot out of the guys that he coaches, and he gets a lot out of those guys too.
How much has being a father changed you, not only as a player, but as a person?
Well, you have less free time on your hands and less rest.
Tell me.
I know. But just, you know, Halloween passes, and that's a fun day. There's just,
did you go out for Halloween?
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
No, so he went to a Halloween party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I let my wife take care of that. So, they just, you know, they bring so much joy to your life. So, I mean, the amount of love that you show to your children, and, you know, you really realize how much your parents loved you and how much you appreciate everything they've done for you. So, I'm very lucky and very blessed. I love, you know, every part of being, you know, father and a parent and certainly a son, too.
Do the boys get who number 12 is? Do they understand it yet? Because I got kids for Halloween. They want to be number 12. I'm like, hey, Dad used to play, too. Not to this level, but, you know. Do they know who 12 is?
No, they don't. I mean, I think my oldest son loves coming to the games because he gets popcorn and cookies and all the junk food at the game. So, you know, that it's cool he gets to see Dad after the game. He's had a chance to run on the field once before. But it'll start, you know, kicking in hopefully at some point. And maybe he'll think his dad's cool at some point. Probably not.
Maybe. Just don't show me old pictures from the rookie days when you used to live back in Franklin.
I know. Definitely don't show him that.
No. Hey, man, you've always been good in the second half as a team, not only as a team, but as a player. You know how important football is after Thanksgiving, man. Yeah. We really appreciate it. Have another great second half. I know you will.
Thanks, Zell.
All right, bud. First time I saw Trevor play, I believe he was in 10th grade. He was tall, thin, you know, kind of gangly. Loved the game of football, very passionate about it. He didn't have the most skill at the time, but you could see he had the most heart and drive of anyone that I had coached. He tried out for the varsity as a sophomore, and he didn't make it. And, you know, when talking later, you know, that really motivated him. He was physically gifted and worked hard and could motivate other kids and had a goal and tried to encourage other kids to have goals, whether it be academically or on the football field or whatever sport he was in. He was a great teammate, a great leader, just somebody that is great to have around other kids.
He's going to be hit and sacked. Getting in first and getting a hand on him was Trevor Scott.
Going to be sacked. That ball on the ground.
I knew Trevor was very serious about making himself available to the top-tier schools when he was willing to be in this weight room all the time. He was willing to be in the weight room during his basketball season, during track season, during football season, all through the summer. Any kid that works as hard as Trevor did, you root for them. A lot of kids say they want to go play college, they want to do this, I'd like to get to the NFL. He was willing to do whatever it took to get there. When you see a kid who's that enthusiastic, you root for him, and you'll do whatever you can to get him as far as they can go. very proud of Trevor that he got there. And again, it's determination and sacrifice. A lot of kids and young men will say they'll do this, that, and the other. Trevor actually did it. Well, the local guys, while it's not a big town, it is, like I said, a close-knit town. They are very happy with when they heard Trevor got drafted. When one person does well, and Trevor did, they know that everyone's watching. We're all following him. We've got together and watch him play. It's something the community can be proud of.
That was Trevor Scott's path to the NFL. Congratulations to Rich Moran of Dorchester High School. He's our Bob's Discount Furniture High School Coach of the Week.
Congratulations.
Dorchester is a perfect 8-0 on the season and has already clinched a berth in the Division 5 Super Bowl. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Dorchester football program in the name of Rich Moran.
Welcome back, everyone. Joining me now is Patriots defensive lineman Kyle Love. And first things first, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
What'd you do for the bye week? Anything fun?
I went to Mississippi, you know, to watch the Bulldogs play, you know. It was a good trip, but,
uh-oh,
you know.
Bad result?
Yeah, bad result.
You got the Buffalo Bills next, a team that you guys just smoked in week 4. Do you go back to that game, or is that game so long ago? Obviously, you go back and look at film, but you know Buffalo's going to come in with a little chip on your shoulder because you guys put up 52 points on them.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely want to go back and look at film and see what you didn't do, see what you could do better, you know, mistakes and corrections.
Were there mistakes in that game?
Yeah, it's mistakes in every game. I mean, football's not a perfect sport,
right.
So it's not meant to be played like that. But you have to also correct what you've done in the past. So, yeah, it's been big watching that.
I want to go down your line just for a second, defensive line, and talk about your buddy, Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
How has he helped you?
Oh, man, words can't explain it, you know, in every aspect of the game, like just the little things, the little things that he see, you know, he's on the play before the offensive line can even think, like, where is it? And that's because he sees little things in the offense that they show, that they give away, that they don't know that they're giving away. And uh-huh. He's taught me a lot of that.
Off the field?
On and off.
On and off.
Yeah.
Nicknames. I love this because you had so many. Tell people the list of nicknames that have come your way.
It can go on and on. The head man, Mr. Crab, calls me Love Bundle.
You've been called what? Love Boat?
Love Boat in college. The trainer staffs have a nickname for me. They call me the Love Shack. Everybody in this building has a nickname. When I first came here, all the players was calling me Buddy Love.
Buddy Love.
Buddy Love. So.
And you've been called Love Barge. But the other thing is, you also took a spot out of Vince Wilfork's book in Mini V, right?
Yeah. I got that from a teammate, Jamar Chaney, plays for the Eagles now. He used to call me that back in college, Mini V, all the time. So it just kind of stuck with me since then.
Good luck this week against Buffalo.
Thank you.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette Pro Fusion. We're back and we're ready to get back
better
to work.
Than ever.
That's right, it's Buffalo Week, meaning you got to deal with some guy on the outside, a guy's named Stevie Johnson.
And you also got to make sure we don't do on the back end is get beat deep.
That's
Stevie
what they've
Johnson,
done all year.
Yeah, and I tell you what, the first thing is like you can't see ghosts on this because here's what happens when guys get behind him. They'll run around.
I'll be the high safety.
And then here I'm going to make a move like I'm going to the corner. And I see him out of the corner of my eye. As soon as I see him commit, I'm making a move, and it's too late for him to recover. There's the ball.
Nice ball.
I'm behind him.
That's a killer. It's the plays over the top that they've given up. The plays not of 20 yards or more, plays of 50 yards or more. Start of their Rams game. Right over the top, two high safeties, get turned around. You're talking about that double move, though.
Well, yeah, see the double move. I mean, which one do you want to see?
Let's do the double move again. That's where they're getting killed. Give the ball back to the quarterback. And when you're dealing with young guys, like Tavon Wilson, that's the guy that's been there, 21 years old. So I'm not watching the ball. I'm watching the receiver. So I overcommit. I turn around. Next thing I know, I've given up all the field to where you all you got to do is just lay it out. That's where Fitzpatrick could get hot. That's what could be problematic.
Yeah, you got to make sure that doesn't happen. Don't see ghosts. Don't make a move on the first play. Make sure you have the ball and everything else in front of you.
Don't see ghosts. Halloween was 2 weeks ago, meaning this thing's over.
I'm Jackie Britton, and it's time now for our opponent news. New England will host the 3-5 Buffalo Bills on Sunday, the same Bills team that gave up 52 points to the Patriots in Week 4.
Shoots it down the field, wide open, Gronkowski touchdown. That was like stealing.
No question, it's a game that the Bills remember, which should make for a highly motivated team that visits Foxborough.
We gave the momentum to them in the last few games, and we've got to be able to overcome some of that. And, it'll be a game for us. It'll say a lot, you know, because we're kind of down right now. We don't think we're out. I think there's still a positive vibe in the locker room. I think you have to have that. I mean, otherwise, you're beat before you go play.
For all the latest up-to-the-minute Patriots news, be sure to check out Brian Lowe and myself every day on Patriots Today. Let's see which Buffalo players have caught Coach Belichick's eye. It's time now for the Belistrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belistrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. Buffalo, second time you guys see him this year. What are they doing differently? What are you seeing here?
Well, still the one of the number one guys we got to stop on Buffalo's offense is C.J. Spiller. And you know, this is against Arizona. Arizona's a good defensive football team, and they're fast. But you know, Spiller's the kind of back that can really make them look bad. He comes through the middle there on the draw. You can see he's got good quickness. It avoids a tackle there by Wilson, who's a very good tackler. Bounces off a couple guys in the secondary and then runs with some power, picks up an extra 4 or 5 yards even after he's in the arms of the tackler there. So very elusive and explosive player.
Tells you he's healthier too. You know, when absolutely. You put the shoulder down, you're not looking to get out of bounds. All right,
yeah.
Moving on.
No, absolutely. This is, C.J. Spiller really has a kind of the reputation of being an outside, sweet type of runner, but his elusiveness and his quickness in the line of scrimmage is really exceptional. You can see this defensive end from Arizona comes inside, and Spiller's able to jump him and get to the backside, then, you know, beat an unblocked safety coming off the edge there, split the line of scrimmage, you know, and now he's very dangerous in the secondary, you know, getting away from Kerry Rhodes and finding more yards and more space down there. But you can really see his running ability all the way around. He's not just an outside sweep guy. He can go up inside. He runs with good power for his size, good quickness, very elusive, and very fast.
So it's discipline up front for you guys, staying home backside. That's something you guys have been really good at across the board all year long.
Absolutely. Everybody's at the point of attack with Spiller. There's nobody that he can't attack. Everybody's there.
All right, kicking game. Gee, I guess who's returning this one?
Well, you know, McKelvin's their main returner, and they place him over here in this case on this side. And Tennessee tries to kick it away from him to the backside, and so Brad Smith comes up and handles the ball. And again, we know Brad Smith's got strong runner, got good speed. You know, he breaks the tackles here, a couple tackles by the Titans. They got a good shot at him, can't get him down. The kicker whiffs on him, and now he's got the speed, turns it on, goes 90 yards for a touchdown. So very explosive in the return game with McKelvin as well as Smith.
Okay, moving on. Oh, this is actually punt return.
Yeah, this is going to be McKelvin on the punt return against San Francisco. And, dangerous as a kickoff returner, dangerous as a punt returner. McKelvin's another guy with very good speed, and he's a strong runner. Likes to go outside, has that great speed to get to the corner, but when the coverage kind of overplays him like San Francisco's doing here, he has the vision and the quickness to get up inside. Makes one good move there on punter, and it's all over. So this is a very explosive team on special teams and on offense. They have a lot of firepower.
You're starting to see more teams break things, it seems, special teams-wise. Why do you think that is? Just you're getting to the point where you're scouting, getting guys on film, they're setting things up better?
Yeah, and explosive guys with the ball in their hands. They don't need a lot of space.
All right, here's Buffalo on defense.
This is Buffalo on defense against Arizona in overtime. And, this is Jarius Byrd, and he comes in on the backside. You can see that Arizona's trying to run a little inside route here to their third receiver here coming out of the middle to try to attack that split safety coverage. Bird reads it, comes in there, undercuts it, makes the interception, runs the ball down inside the 10-yard line. Buffalo kicks the field goal in overtime and beats Arizona. So, you know, another dangerous ball-hawking guy. This guy had 10 interceptions as a rookie for Buffalo, and he's continued to put up good numbers defensively as an interceptor and a ball hawk. We've got to be careful throwing the ball around him.
All right, Coach. Guys, well, we've been a great second-half team. Good luck getting into the stretch run here with Buffalo, another divisional opponent. Go get him.
Yeah, I hope we can get off to a good start here.
All right, there you go. There's your Bellustrator. We'll be back with more of All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bank of America, the official bank of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Hi, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week on Totally Patriots, Sterling Moore gets tilted and proves to us that the only game he may have is on the football field.
Drop this zero, get with this hero. The pickup line didn't work.
Plus, Ryan Wendell sits down with you, Shauna, and Pat Shep. Going to open up about one of his favorite workouts.
That's right.
I like downs. I like lay down, sit down, chow down, that kind of stuff.
You can catch us Saturdays at 10 a.m. on MyTV 38.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. More panel discussion. We're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills. But before I even do that, I want to bring up the bye week. They're coming off the bye week. Did the bye week come at a perfect time? Because all of a sudden, after that Rams game, they were clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, and I understand that part of it. They did seem to play their best football in London. But I think that was part of it, was that they knew the bye week was coming. I think that you sort of gear it up and you know that rest is coming. Yeah, I think it comes right in the middle of the season. I think they're incredibly banged up. They had a couple of long road trips right before that bye. I think it came at the perfect time.
When you see the schedule at the start of the year and you see the bye after eight games, you say, oh, perfect, right mm-hmm. in the middle of the season. But actually you forget. You have training camp and the preseason, and I think they were sort of staggering to the finish line, and they really finished with a nice burst there, Steve, but they did need the break. I love what Bill Belichick said about it, how he explained it. Almost like you're preparing for a final exam every week. It's nice to have a week without an exam.
All right, so now let's not overlook this Buffalo Bills team, a team that the Patriots waxed in week four, put up 52 points on them. How do you not overlook the Bills doing what you did the first time around?
Well, I think what you do if you're Bill Belichick is you continue to show them the first 2.5 quarters and just see just how much trouble the Patriots were in that day, down 21-7 and quite fortunate not to be down 28-7, well, if not for a goal line fumble caused by Brandon Spikes on Spiller. So I think it's very easy for Bill this week. I think that Buffalo is a team that you know, obviously being a division opponent. They've had success throwing the football on you in the past at times. Fitzpatrick makes mistakes, we know that. Mm-hmm. But they've had success. And listen, I know it was 52-28, but it was also 21-7. You were losing. And I think that's a very easy argument for the coach to make.
I think you need your leaders to step up and remind the young players this, because we can go to any number of examples over the years that we've seen. Remember the Jets came in here and the right. Patriots just crunched them, and then playoff time, they lose, you know, same team a couple weeks later. So I think there's enough examples out there to tell you, Steve, just because you beat them September 30th and beat them pretty good in the second half, that doesn't mean it's going to happen this time.
Most teams love to throw against the Patriots, and why not? But will Buffalo come in with a different strategy, having their running backs healthy again?
It's interesting because, you know, Buffalo's defense has been weak all year. And Mike is right about the small package. But they have trouble stopping the run anyway. Mm-hmm. So I could see the Patriots having a lot of success. Maybe Buffalo looks at this and says, listen, I know we can throw the ball on them, but the only way we can keep that offense off the field is by shortening the game. And they do have two running backs who weren't healthy the first time. Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller are terrific players,
right.
And they were not 100%, not even anywhere close to 100% in Spiller's case. So they could look at that. They also lost Cordy Glenn, their impressive rookie left tackle. He'll be back for this game. He didn't play for most of that game the first time. I could understand if Chan Gailey said, I know the Patriots are really good stopping the run, but that's really our only chance.
Yeah, and you go back to their last game against Houston, and what they were saying after the game is, why didn't we get C.J. Spiller more touches? You know, he hardly had the ball in his hands in that game, and he's one of their most explosive players. So if you're the Patriots, you can expect the Bills are going to feed C.J. Spiller early and often, fast, dynamic player. He's a guy that can change a game if you're not careful.
I think they only had 6 carries each in that game, Jackson and Spiller. Spiller's averaging over 7 yards, about 8 yards a carry.
He can be dangerous.
Just numbers that are record-setting, outrageous.
All right, speaking of numbers, prediction time, what do you got?
All those things I said nice about Buffalo, I'm going to go the other way. I know that's a big surprise. I just think too much. I like what Mike said about the St. Louis game. I thought that was an indication of what this team was capable of. And offensively, I think something clicked a little bit in that game. I'll be anxious to see with the week off in between. But I look for a lot of points in this game, and I think the Patriots come away maybe a 38-23 win.
I like 35-17. Patriots gets that second half of the season started the right way for the Patriots. See if they can get on a little bit of a roll here.
And hopefully they'll improve to 6-3.
There you go.
All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, well, that would do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.